I'm thankful to our Lord for this service and for this way in which Brother Ed Ballard and Mindy have chosen to honor Ed's wife and Mindy's mother so that all of her friends and church family could be together for this service. When will we break all of our traditions and begin to do things as God leads us? Have people say a funeral in the evening? That's not being done. Why not? We're so bound by religious customs, ceremonies, rituals, and traditions, we completely rule out the Spirit of the living God. And we meet together as New Testament believers of old to bury our dead for the glory of God and to worship His name and do what He leads us to do, whether it meets the approval of this world or not. And I intend to do it that way. Now, I spent some time because this dear lady is very dear to me. For almost 20 years, I've been her pastor. And for that long, a very dear friend. And then my son married her daughter. I think he fell in love with her before he did the daughter. He always loved Joyce. Always loved Joyce. And those who knew Joyce loved her. And I was trying to think of something that ought to be said. And that's so difficult to sum up so many years and a few words and so much love and so many experiences, so many Sunday dinners. Ed and Joyce, Joan, Doris and I and the children and fellowship together. How do you sum all that up in a few words? And I struggled with it a long time. And I came over here tonight and was looking at the flowers that you, dear friends, have sent out of your love and out of your concern as a tribute. And I saw a basket of flowers over there from Mr. and Mrs. Bob Boyd. And there's a ribbon on it. I believe you ought to cut that ribbon out and keep it. You know what it says? Special lady. Special lady. I said, that's it. She was a special lady. She was special to God. He loved her and revealed the gospel to her. He chose her out of the whole human race. She's special to Him. He said, thou art a special people unto the Lord thy God. That's what's written in the book of 1 Samuel. You're a special people to the Lord your God. She was a special lady. And she was special to Ed, to Tim, Byron, Mindy, and Paul. Special. And she was special to this church, Tom. She was always here. Sat right over there every service. Always here. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Bible conferences. Whatever we had. She supported the gospel. She supported her pastor. Prayed for him and loved him. Last time I saw her alive, I went down to the home 48 hours before she died. Went upstairs and Mindy woke her up. I leaned over the bed and kissed her on this cheek. She opened her eyes and says, hi, honey. I appreciated that. God's people love each other. They love each other. And she was special to this church and special to her pastor. And I think that sums up how I feel about this dear one, what's written on that little streamer from that basket of flowers, special lady. I want you to turn to Psalm 116 and let me give you a message I hope will be glorifying to God and of some help to you in this time. Psalm 116. This is one of those great psalms. One of those great psalms written from the believing heart of David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, the man of whom God said, he's a man after my own heart. And David didn't pluck these words from the air. He didn't lift them from the traditions of religion, nor did he find them in the musty books of theology written by men, but he spake as the Spirit of God breathed on him. And in verse 1, he talks about loving the Lord. We love him because he first loved us. He said, I love the Lord. I don't love him like I ought to. I don't love him like I want to. I don't love him like I expect to someday, but I love him by his grace. I love the Lord. That's what he said. Because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. You know what I believe he's talking about? He says, the Lord has heard my cry for mercy. That's what he said over here in Psalm 51. He said in the 51st Psalm, he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. And he heard my voice. He blotted out my transgressions. He cleansed me from all my sins, purged me and cleansed me and washed me and heard my voice. And then in verse 2, he talks about a persevering faith. He said, because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore I'll call on him as long as I live. Job, speaking of the hypocrite, Job said he calls on the Lord, but will he always call on the Lord? He claims the Lord, but will he always claim the Lord? David said, I will. By God's grace, I'll call on him as long as I live. As long as I live. And I'll die calling on the Lord. And then in verse 3, he talks about afflictions and trials. He said, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold of me, and I found trouble and sorrow. The believer is not exempt from trouble. We have an example of it here. Our Lord said, in this world you shall have tribulation. We're not exempt from trouble. We're not exempt from trials, and we're not exempt from afflictions. But he said in verse 4, in my trouble and sorrow, I call on the name of the Lord. I knew where to turn. I knew to whom I must turn. I call on the name of the Lord. And I said, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver me in this day of trouble. Deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. He preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and I like this. And he helped me. This family has been through some trying times in the last almost 2 years now. But I'll tell you this. God gave Joyce the grace that she needed in this time of trouble. And she witnessed a good witness. In all of this trouble and trial and suffering, hardly a word of complaint. You know that, and I know that. Because he helped her. It wasn't by human strength. It never is. But it was by divine strength and help. And not only Joyce, but Ed and Mindy and the dear family. It's been a time of trial and suffering, but the Lord will not subject us to that which is too heavy for us by his grace and through his strength to bear. He helped me. And that's the way that I must end all of my confessions regarding troubles and trials and afflictions. I say I've come through it, but he helped me. He helped me. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I'm come. And I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Yes, I've gone through some troubles and trials, but he helped me. He helped me. And then in verse 10, he talks about the foundation of his faith. I believed. I believed. What did you believe, David? I believed God. I believe God. That's a summary of faith. That's the definition of faith, is to believe God. Not to believe about God or believe there is a God. The devil believes there is a God and trembles. But David says here, I believe God. I believe his word. God's word is the foundation of faith. I believe his word. And listen, therefore have I spoken. The word of God is the foundation of our faith. And therefore we speak. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He talks of committal. He said, I'll take the cup of salvation. I will by faith take the cup of salvation, and I will call on the name of the Lord. That's what Paul said. He said, I know whom I have believed. I believe. I know whom I have believed. It's not I know what I believe or I know when I believe. I know whom. I know whom I have believed. The object of faith is a person. I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded and confident that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll take it. I'll call on the name of the Lord. I'll pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of his people. Now he talks of death and the end of life. He talks about the end of all. I love the Lord. I will by his grace call upon him as long as I live. It's been a journey of trial and trouble and affliction. But he helped me. He helped me. He helped me. I believe. And therefore have I spoken. Therefore have I trusted. Therefore have I rested. Therefore have I committed to him. I'll take the cup of salvation. I'll call on the name of the Lord. And then he talks about the end of the journey. He said, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What is death? I'm standing here in the presence of death. I hear people talk about the death angel. I hear people talk about death in other terms. What is death? The Bible has a lot to say about it. One day, Jonathan and David were talking. And David said to Jonathan, he said, Jonathan, there's but one step between me and death. Do you believe that? There is but one step between me and death, Ed. Just a step. A step between me and judgment. Just a step between me and meeting God. Just a step between me and eternity. Just a step between me and a departure out of this world. That's what he said. And then the scripture says, it's appointed unto men once to die. It's an appointment we're going to keep. And after that, the judgment. And then the scripture says there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. There's a time to die. And then the scripture says, thou takest away their breath. Thou takest away their breath. They die and return to the dust. Well, what is death? Preacher, can you, without flowery words that the cross of Christ be made of non-effect, without oratory and preacher talk, can you just tell me what death is? Yes, sir. Yes, I can. I can. In the first place, death is an act of God. My son Paul puts these scriptures out here on the bulletin board, and he's been instructed always to put the scriptures out there, which he was glad to do. I don't know why we people think we can improve on the Word of God and put our little catchy slogans on our bulletin boards, entertain men. I don't know why. But he has a scripture out there, the Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. You believe that? You believe that? Well, that's what the Word of God says. It's in the book of Samuel. The Lord killeth and the Lord maketh alive. The Lord woundeth and the Lord healeth. I hear all the divine healers saying, I believe in miracles. Anybody believes in God believes in miracles. Anybody believes in the creation believes in miracles. All healing is of God. Nobody ever gets well without God's will. And death is of God. That's what the scripture says. Let me read it to you from the book of Job. Job writing in chapter 14. Listen to what he said. Just this is what God says. It says, man's born of woman, and is a few days and full of trouble. Cometh forth like a flower, and is cut down. He fleeth as a shadow, and continueth not. And then over here in verse 5, it says, seeing man's days are determined, the number of his months are with God. God hath appointed his bounds, and he cannot pass. Yes, sir, death is an act of God. There are no accidents with God. I am absolutely immortal until God is pleased to call me home. That's so. That's what the Word declares. Death is an act of God. And we submit to the will of God. It's when Samuel said to Eli the prophet, he said, the Lord said that your two sons would die. And Eli replied, well, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him. And when they came and told Job that everything he had been swept away and all of his children were dead, he said, well, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, he didn't charge God with foolishness. Death's an act of God. And you'll never come to look upon it rightly or to accept it spiritually or to find any help or hope or comfort in it until you, by the grace of God, settle in your mind that this is an act of God. Now, that's just so. Then you lose your fear of men. Then you lose your fear of the plague. He said, 1,000 will fall at your right hand and 10,000 at your left. It shall not come nigh thee. That's God's word. You've either got to have all chance or all God. You can't have both. You've got to have all fate or God. You can't have both. It's got to be luck or God. It can't be both. I'm sorry. It can't be. God will not share his glory. And then death, secondly. What do you know about it, preacher? I know it's an act of God. And I know, secondly, it's the results of sin. Scripture says, as by one man sin entered this world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. That's when it happened. Almighty God created a man called Adam. Put him in the Garden of Eden. Made him holy and upright, the scripture says, but he sought out many inventions. The word Adam means man, taken from the red earth. He was the federal head and the representative of every human being. God never created but one man. You weren't created. You were born from the loins of another man. God created one man, Adam. Scripture says there's the first Adam and the second Adam. The first Adam is of the earth, earthy. The second Adam, second man, is the Lord from heaven. As I have borne the image of the earthy, by God's grace I'll bear the image of the heavenly. By man came death, by man came the resurrection. As in Adam all men die, in the second Adam we're made alive. That's what this book says. That's what God's word says. Representation, imputation. And when Adam took the forbidden fruit, Adam died. Death passed upon Adam, and in Adam, and through Adam, and because of Adam, it passed upon all men. The old Presbyterians call that original sin, and they're right. Why they call it original is the first one. There wasn't another one like it. By one man's disobedience, I became a sinner. By another man's disobedience, I became righteous. So death is a result of sin. There was no death on this earth till man rebelled against God. There was no death on this earth until man sinned against God. It'd do well for you to listen. We sit in church and sleep while men preach the gospel. You'll sleep soon enough. It'll be this sleep right here. And then you'd give your soul to hear one gospel message. a truthful gospel message, not from a promoter or a programizer, but a preacher, a prophet of God, who's not afraid to stand and tell the truth about God and Christ and salvation, eternal life. I've often said, I've been preaching 35 years, I've seen very few people ever converted at a funeral. Maybe someday I will. Maybe tonight somebody will hear God's word and bow to Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Be like Samson. God said you slew more Philistines in your death than you did in your life. If Joyce Ballard's memorial service could be used with the Spirit of God to bring some person to bow to Christ, wouldn't that be a victory? Wouldn't that be a victory? Death's the result of sin. Then death, I know this. It's the decay of this body. The final, final decay. God said, listen, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. As it was. There's plenty of pride here among us. We've got our degrees of influence and power and class structure, black and white, rich and poor, educated, uneducated, those who've attained and those who haven't, the fortunate and the less fortunate. I'll tell you this, this is the leveler right here, death. All you are and all you'll ever be in the flesh is dust. That's all you are. The Lord remembereth our frame. He knoweth that we're dust. And the only difference is the difference He makes by His grace when He puts within you through Jesus Christ, by the new birth, a spiritual life. And that's where you differ. When the old Titanic left the shores of this country and sailed, a lot of folks on there, some of them awful important, some of them not very important. Some of them presidents and vice presidents of company, and some were stewards and stewardesses waiting on those dear folk. But when that boat went down and they posted the names, it's just saved and lost. That's all. Saved and lost. And I'll tell you, when God posts the results in eternity, it won't be who you were or where you served or what you made or where you lived or your possession. It'll be saved and lost. Believers and unbelievers. That's right. Those who knew Christ and those who didn't. Grace is the leveler. This old body's going back to the dust. To the dust and the Spirit of God who gave it. Now, whether a man meets God in mercy or whether he meets Him in wrath and judgment, that's not the point here. You ask me, what's death? Death is the decay of the body. And I don't know why we can't see this. I'm nearly 60 years old. My body's wasting away. My strength, my stamina. What's wrong with us? We act like we're going to live forever. Everything we do ought to be done in the light of this experience right here. Death and judgment and eternity. What is death? It's the end of life on this earth, and it's the beginning of a long eternity. Somebody said, this life compared to eternity is like one snowflake in a blizzard. That's how small it is. It's like the vestibule that leads into a great palace hall. You're just here for a moment. It's like one drop of water compared to a flood. God said, as the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the ground shall return no more to his house. I'll go to Ed's house again, but Joyce won't be there. That's just it, Ed. Not coming back. Someday you're going to leave, and you're not coming back. Someday I'm going to step for the last time out of this pulpit where I've preached for 30 years. And I'm not coming back. Never, never, never. Neither shall his place know him anymore. Paul said to the elders of Antioch, he said, you'll see my face no more. No more. That's what death is. Well, David, how can you call it precious? How can you call it precious? If death is the act of God, if death is the result of sin, if death is the final rotting and decaying of this body and the release of the spirit, if death is the end of life that leaves loved ones missing and weeping and never return to your place, David, how can you call it precious? Don't you know what something is that's precious? Precious. That's what it says. Precious. Precious. We call our little babies precious. Precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Well, let me answer that. Why death of the believer is called precious. The death of the unsaved is not precious. That's sad. That's not precious. I've buried people where I couldn't say precious. You can't write blessed where God writes cursed. You can't write cursed where God writes blessed. When God says, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord, you can't write cursed. But I can say precious, I believe, tonight, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, first of all, because they are his. They're his. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of, what's that word? His saints. His saints. They're his. They're his. They belong to him. He calls them his jewels. When I make up my jewels, he calls them his elect. He chose them. He loved them with an everlasting love. He set his affection upon them from eternity. He gave them to his son. He calls them his children. They're precious to him. And anything that takes place in their lives is precious to him. There's a young man sitting here and a young lady here somewhere. I've got, God's given me a love for this congregation and for people to whom I preach. But there's a young man, a young lady here that's they're a little different. And you know why? They're mine. My son and my daughter. See what I mean? They're precious. And while you love many of these dear people, that one's a little precious. She's yours. See what I mean? And I'll tell you this. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints because they're his. They're his, Bill. They're his children. God wasn't off distant somewhere when Joyce closed her eyes and died. Don't you think that for a minute. My son died, and he's 21 years old in Vietnam. I heard somebody say this one time. Where was God when your boy died? Same place when his son died, on the throne. Same place. Same place. He never did abdicate it yet. He rules. My God rules. He is God. What old Pharaoh say in that movie, Ten Commandments, when Israel walked out and his son was dead, he said, Moses, God is God. Well, let me tell you something. Henry's God is God. He's God. He's God of life and death. He's God. I wouldn't worship any other God. They're precious. They're his. And I'll tell you why secondly. I'll tell you secondly why the death of his saints is precious. Is because of the precious blood that he shed to save them. He said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conversation received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. Can you in any way put a price on one drop of his precious, precious blood? You know who that is hanging on that cross? That's God in human flesh. Paul said to those elders again, he said, you feed the church of God which he purchased with his own blood. You know what redeemed my soul from sin? The blood of God, the precious blood of God. You know what redeemed my soul from death? The blood of God, the precious blood of God. And I'll tell you this, I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. And oh, my soul, what a price.
What a price. The Lord Jesus Christ left glory and came to this earth and humiliated himself. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, and died and shed his precious blood to save my soul. And that's why anything that happens to me is precious to God. He bought me, and it cost him the silver of his sweat and the gold of his blood. And I'm pretty important to him. That's right. I'm pretty important. I'm precious. 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 The angels stood around that tree in silent surprise, in awe and wonder, and watched the Lord of glory die for me. You talk about precious. That's right, Joyce. Your death's precious because he bought you with his own blood. And then thirdly, I tell you why it's precious, is because of the precious faith in them. You know, he said one time, when the Son of God comes, will he find faith on this earth? Will he? Will he? Yes, sir. Yes, sir, he will. He'll find it here and there, where he by his grace hath begotten that faith, which is the gift of God. Faith's gift of God. The goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. What is faith? And he calls it precious faith. He said, to them who have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, sir? Joyce died in faith. In faith. And it says of the Old Testament believers, and you can't say anything more of any man, whether it's a Moses or a thief on the cross, whether it's an Apostle Paul or whether it's a simple believer down somewhere in Elkhorn City, they died in faith. That's all you can say. That's all that needs to be said. That's all. For our Lord said, to him that believeth, all things are possible. I believe. God help my unbelief. But I believe. Died in faith, and that faith's precious. And then I'll tell you another reason why the death of the believer is precious, is because of the precious promises God has given to them. He said, whereby are given unto us great and precious promises, that by these precious promises we might be partakers of his divine nature. My assurance. Where is my assurance? In me? Oh no. I'm too weak, too frail. In my works? In God's sight, they're filthy rags. Where's my assurance? His work. He said Christ died for the ungodly. I'm ungodly, then he died for me. He said Christ died for sinners. I'm a sinner. He died for me. He said, he that believeth on the Son hath life. I believe, therefore I have life. Is that right? God cannot lie. I believe God. And if you receive the witness of me, and the witness of God is greater. The witness of God is greater. I don't know why. I do know, because we're natural men, and preaching of the cross is foolishness to natural men. The natural man receiveth not the things of God, but foolishness to him. But I tell you, to the enlightened, all he needs to build upon, to stand upon, to rest upon, to have faith upon, is for God to speak. And that's sufficient. I believe, therefore I speak. And then, the death of the believer is precious because we're in him. In him. That's right. In Christ. We died in Christ, buried in Christ, risen in Christ, and the scripture says seated together with him in the heavenlies. And listen, unto you therefore which believe, he is precious and we are in him. Now then, to the believer himself, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the believer. But to the believer himself or herself, death is precious. Why? Because it's not a penalty. It's a privilege. I understand why men hold to this life so desperately and will not let it go, because it's all they know and it's all they have. And if this were all I had, I'd hold to it too. But I have an inheritance, eternal, undefiled, it fadeth not away, by the grace of God, reserved in heaven through the blood of Christ. And when this life is over, that one step, David said, between me and death, will take me into my inheritance. That's when Joyce wasn't afraid to die. She wasn't afraid to die. Because death is not a penalty. Because Christ bore the penalty. Therefore, I won't bear it. The sting of death is sin. That's which, you see that wasp that flies around? What makes him dangerous? His stinger. Take that out. He couldn't hurt a fly. I'm not afraid of you, Mr. Wasp. You buzz my head all you want to. You got no stinger. And when I see death moving around and moving up to meet me at my coming, I say, I'm not afraid of you, Bill. You ain't got no stinger. God took it out. Jesus, that sting of death was planted in the heart of my Lord on Calvary's cross and left it there. And because it pierced the heart of Christ, it'll never pierce me. He that believeth on Christ will never die. I may go to sleep, but don't you believe it. Joyce isn't dead. Her body's asleep. It's resting. It's tired. She went through this agony and pain and suffering, and her body's sleeping now, quietly tired. She's free. She's with the Lord. What's the matter with us? We sorrow not as those who have no hope. Little girl went out in the yard one day, and she found a bird's nest. It was built on a little robin or whatever bird was, built a nest on a low branch of a tree. And this little girl could just tiptoe up and peep in that nest. She looked in there, and there were three or four little eggs, little blue eggs. Boy, she came running in, telling her mother what she had found. And every day she'd go out there and look at those eggs. Well, she missed a few days. Went on a vacation or something. She came back. First thing she did, came in the house, throw open that sliding patio door, and out she went in the backyard. She walked up, and there on the ground, below the nest, were the broken shells. And she gathered them up. And tears just streamed. And she came running in the house, and she said to her mother, "All my pretty eggs are broken." And the mother said, "Honey, don't cry over the broken shells. The little birds are free." Huh? And I say, let's don't cry over the broken shells. The little bird's free. The little bird's free. Who freed her? Her Lord. And when she's standing in his presence tonight, doing perfectly what we do so imperfectly, doing for the first time in her life what she's always wanted to do, praise him like he ought to be praised, love him like he ought to be loved, singing unto him who loved me and washed me from my sins in his own blood, to him be the glory both now and forever. Have you learned that song? If you don't learn it here, you're not going to sing it there. That's right, isn't it? Let's don't cry over the shells. You're looking at a shell right here that one of these days God's going to take away, and I'm looking at a lot of them. But I hope I don't have to cry over the shell, because I know the bird's free. Free. Free to fly into the presence of God and live forever and forever and forever.